Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we do take a close look at one of the appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere over the last 2,000 years, and she's appeared nearly 3,000 times. So that's more than once a year if you just do the math. And it's not just in Europe, it's all over the world, as we will see, because tonight we're going to Australia, where she had a series of encounters with a young lady. So, again, she has appeared everywhere, all around the globe. It didn't matter what culture, what religion, even whether it's an atheist or an anti-Catholic, she appeared to many different people. And sometimes it seemed like random choices of who became visionaries. But heaven just knew what would happen with those people, and they were chosen for those opportunities. Nobody expected it. Nobody was asking for it. Nobody was looking for this to happen. It'd be like if you were just walking down the street and all of a sudden as you round a corner, boom, a brilliant light and a lady appears and your whole life changes. Oh, yeah, just like that. Just like that. And then you try to tell people and they don't believe you. They laugh at you. They scoff at you. They think you need mental care. Until the scientists examine you and find out that there's nothing wrong with you and that your brain is doing things they haven't seen before when you have such visions. Such is the life of a visionary. Very unique, very inspirational, and very much the same from one visit to another, no matter whether it was Germany or China or India or Lebanon or Rwanda, Africa, doesn't matter where you were, the details keep coming out the same. That is reality. Fantasy would have it going 50,000 different directions, but no, it all stays very consistent in the details and the characteristics of the experience and the messages from our Blessed Mother are much the same over and over, often related to the specific area as well, and sometimes she gave warnings and predictions, all of which I've never seen one not come true. So when she gives a prediction, we best believe it, because so far we have not seen one not come true. Of course, she's got it right because she gets it from God. And, you know, if you don't think there's a God, you might want to think twice. And so far, everything that he has told her to say has definitely come true. So anyway, so this show is dedicated to learning as much as we can about this phenomenon and to hopefully inspire people to get back to church, back on track, and back to their faith, because that's where it's at. That's where we are to learn as much as we can and stay faithful and stay strong so that we can go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? You can't just assume you got a free ride. That's where you get into trouble. You might have to spend some time elsewhere getting ready for heaven if you haven't spent your life doing so. And if you don't even believe in God or in any of this, good luck with that. That's a lot I can say on that. But this show's about Mary, and so we will continue to discuss what goes on in her realm with us. All right, well, before we get going, we always like to see who's shown up on our research team. And, of course, my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley's there. And, Donald, I just want you to know that I will follow you no matter where you go, no matter how far you go. I will always follow you. Was that from Sister Act, the movie?
That was definitely from Sister Act. And that was – I just – it was just the spur of the moment. And what does Jesus say? He says, come follow me. And so that's what Our Lady is calling us to do, is to follow him.
Yep.
So that I thought was appropriate. And I think that Our Lady, it's appropriate for her to, you know, because what does she do? She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And that's what we should be doing as well. Our soul. We should be doing what we can to proclaim God's word from our hearts. I mean, you know, just from the very basic who we are in him. And so that's what Our Lady is calling us to do. And, you know, just as it is said, you know, the Hail Mary. Think about the Hail Mary. Full of grace. The Che Caritas. That's so important for us to understand that she is full of grace, and because of her fiat, her yes, that opened the door for all of us. And so that's why we pay her so with so much thank. We should be thankful. And with us to be thankful, we have John the Virginian. How you doing there, John?
Doing great, man. You know, Donald, when you talk about the angel's greeting to Mary, yes, we need to focus on the Kei Keratomene part, but we also need to focus on what precedes it, the Kerry part. Your Majesty, she's our queen. And we can't forget that because she reigns in heaven as queen. That's the role that she was given under in the Bible. She is the fulfillment of the queen mother. So she's our mother and she's our queen both. So that's
Amen.
We need to kind of have that awe when we approach her.
Yeah, and that's what the angel, that was a title. Also, along with John, we have Mike from New Jersey. How you doing there, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I see you're messing with Sister Act, right?
Well,
we'll have of that.
Yeah.
Now, is that Sister Act 1, or is that the one that's subtitled Back in the Habit?
No, that was number one. In fact, that was the scene where they were playing before Pope John Paul II. I guess you would say the likeness of Pope Saint John Paul II, and so that just popped on there. So we do follow him, John Carpenter.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We do follow him here at Deeper Truth, and. Also, this whole thing, I am so thankful for this opportunity. And just to let everybody know, because she met Judy Alciator meant so much on this show, I did send down a plant. It was a peace lily white bloom, deep dark hunter green leaves. It had a nice card to it that said, with deepest sympathy from the Deeper Truth family, Deeper Truth Radio family, and the Rosary Patrol. And she was laid to rest in New Orleans yesterday. So her body's at rest, but her soul, well, we have to just say she's up there singing with the angels. And that's a good thing because that's where we're all striving to go ourselves. So I just want to, because a lot of people may be out there wondering why we haven't been listening and hearing Judy lately, and that is because her voice is among the stars. So, but here we are.
Yeah. It's really amazing how much she contributed to all the programs, and I'm sure not just this one, but all of them, she was instrumental in helping out in some way. And that Deeper Truth has truly lost a major character in its workings. And all we can say is that she took dictation from God, and now she's with him. So, wow. Wow.
Well, she could be down under with us. Down under.
Oh, no doubt she's listening in. I wish you would just call in. That would be easy, but yeah. Anyway, so anything else? Otherwise, we'll head to Australia now. Any other comments?
Well, our bags are packed.
All right. Well, this occurred in New South Wales, Australia, between the years of 1976 through 2001, so pretty recent. And Geraldine is the visionary, and she's the wife and mother of a young family. She is a kind, generous, charitable person who wants to omit her last name from any publicity so she can protect her private life and that of her family. Father Richard Maison, Father Michael Love, and Father Eugene Zondi, have served as her spiritual directors over the years. She had three different priests, And they all approve of her messages and experiences with Blessed Mary and Jesus. She also received approval and blessings from Bishop G.F. Main in her diocese. So she is approved in Australia. So just to start with, it's nice to know. At the age of 13 in 1976, she had just lost her sister Karen, who was age 12 at the time, after a long suffering. She had asked God to take her instead, as she felt her sister was much more talented and worthy of life than herself. She used to punish herself and cry endlessly because she hated herself and could not bear the pain of the separation from her beloved sister. One day, as she was crying intensely while lying on her grandmother's bed, she heard a beautiful woman's voice. It was soft, loving, gentle, yet very clear and distinct. And the voice said, quote, "Stop punishing yourself. It is not your fault." Well, Geraldine jumped up in fright because she'd been alone in the room. But to her surprise, nobody was there. Despite the shock and puzzlement, she felt strangely calmed and at peace due to the soothing tone of the woman's voice. She had blamed God for the death and turned away from him, so she was not going to pray. But then the beautiful lady came to her in a strange dream. And Geraldine said, "I had a dream that I was with a group of people going to Lourdes, France, when suddenly I am lost and on my own in what appeared to be a misty moor land at nighttime, like the moors. Yet I can see a grotto at the top of the hill in the distance, so I make my way there. Inside a cave, I see a statue of Our Lady and a kneeler in front of it. I kneel down to ask Our Lady to help me pray. As I was trying to pray, something is pulling at my left arm to distract me. Then I felt a sharp pain in my arm as if something had bitten me. I turned around to see a huge black dog. I cried out to Our Lady, 'Help me, please. I can't pray.' As I look up at the statue, it's gone. And I look to my right and see this beautiful lady standing beside me. The statue had come to life. She looked about 18, and she radiated calmness, serenity, and peacefulness. She was so beautiful. Then she held out her arms very gracefully and looked at the dog, saying, full of love, 'Come, dance with me, Satan.' The huge dog spun around backwards so fast that it drilled a huge hole in the concrete ground, and down he went underground in a puff of smoke. I could see that this dog was terrified of this woman and hated her. Then she took me by the hand and walked outside with me. Then she said, 'Geraldine, never be afraid to pray. Good always overcomes evil.'" Okay, now this was a dream, but what do you think about this, guys? That's a pretty impressive dream. Or was it?
Well,
a dream?
When I think of this, how beautiful she is being described here. Think about this. In the Old Testament, Hannah was a woman who was barren. She was without child, and she would approach the temple pleading to the Lord a child, promising she would offer her child for his service. She miraculously giving birth to Samuel. And Hannah prefigures Mary, who held to a vow of virginity, probably associated with the Essenes, that reinforced that dedication. And so Hannah received a supernatural conception, bringing forth a prophet. Mary also received this incarnation through the power of the Holy Spirit. And another one I will present, you know, Judith is honored also. Judith, chapter 15, 9 to 11, that the church applies to the Virgin Mary. That is because Judith is a unique prefigure of Mary. Judith cut off the head of horned ferns, liberating the Jewish people from a horrible siege that threatened the nation. And Judith prefigured Mary, as Genesis 3:15 points to, the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. As horned ferns represent the serpent, so Judith represents Mary. And Judith was also noted for being very beautiful. And that's the reason why I bring this up, because how beautiful Mary is. She is so beautiful. And you describe this time after time after time after time. And so Mary is prefigured in the Old Testament with a lot of these women like Esther and even Bathsheba. All these women who prefigures Mary. I think that is so important there. And we shouldn't fear to pray. The devil can appear to us in many forms. We just had the feast of Saint Padre Pio, and in that story of his life, he had many encounters with the devil. And through all that, prayer to our Lord and our Lady was so important. And that's why it is so important for us too, John. And I think that is why this story is so important. It's a reminder of all of this.
It sure is. And that black dog disappearing in a puff of smoke, drilling into the ground straight down through concrete. It's always been that way when Mary and the devil are in the same place. The devil is terrified of her and leaves always in a hurry. He never confronts her, challenges her, or even argues with her. He disappears fast.
Yeah,
it's called hit the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
What are you saying, John?
Yeah.
It's interesting, John.
John, you're breaking up really bad.
Garbled.
Okay. I'll change my location.
That's better.
Oh, are you? He has a particular chair he likes to sit in while he's doing the show, and that could definitely impact where he's his connection, I guess you would say.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The way I figured out, I don't get a good signal from that chair. So what I do is I just move the phone, use my wireless headphones. That way I can still sit in the chair. You got to learn how to cheat the system.
Yeah.
So, Donald, it's interesting you brought up Padre Pio. I'm reading the book, Padre Pio, by C. Bernard Ruffin. And you talked about how the devils used to torment him. I'm reading in the book where it says when he was 4 years old and younger, he was a very, very he cried a lot. And, you know, his parents thought he was a very, very difficult, you know, baby. And they mentioned it to him later in life. And he says he remembered. Even that young, he remembered. And it was that the evil monsters used to come to torment him. So even as a four-year-old, the devils and the demons were tormenting him.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, and, you know, Mary's appeared in a number of dreams to people. With Our Lady of the Snows, she appeared to the wealthy couple in the dream, and the same night she appeared to Pope Liberius in the dream, and it was enough to move all of them to appear on that mountaintop the next day and see the snow that shouldn't have been there in August, but that came from dreams that they both had. And that's happened in other apparitions as well, where Mary appears in a dream to somebody. And, you know, supernatural can do it. I mean, we don't understand how that can happen, but it's no problem for heaven. It knows how to work that. So, well, listen to what she says. When Geraldine says, when I told my grandmother about the dream the next morning, she became overjoyed. very excited and dropped to her knees, praising God and thrilled the Blessed Mother had appeared to me. But I did not really believe this yet and was more worried about grandmother's health. Although I had never been to Lourdes, France, or seen any pictures, years later I did see a photo and immediately recognized the Lourdes Grotto as the very same one that I had seen in my dream, unquote.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool. So, yeah, transported in a dream to Lourdes, and Mary turns from a statue into a real Mary right there in front of her at Lourdes in her dream. That's cool. Geraldine had another dream in which she saw her deceased sister dressed in black. As she ran to hug her, she noted that her sister was upset with her over having had a recent and unresolved disagreement with their grandfather. Her sister urged her to go quickly and make up with him. Her sister was upset because Geraldine had been selfish and unkind. Well, the next morning, Geraldine told her mother and agreed to go visit grandfather on the next morning. But grandfather died from a heart attack that very night. And now Geraldine understood her sister's urgency and why she was dressed in black. Grandfather then came to her in a few visions, upset and warning her about terrible times ahead for humanity, and angry if she did not believe him. Wow. So there's another dream that's pretty interesting. You know, sees her sister. Her sister warns her about resolving this disagreement before grandfather's to die. But he died quicker than she could get there, because she was trying to get there, but he died faster than she could get there. But then he came to her in visions and warned her about terrible times ahead for humanity, which from my research on heaven makes sense, because everyone understands everything when they get there. They have the same connection with God. Questions are answered before even asked, and you have a sense of knowing everything, which is why relatives always know it's not your time, and why this grandfather would know there was hard times ahead for humanity. So it's very interesting what my research about heaven turned up. And there you go, another dream by Geraldine. What'd you think?
Well, if you look at it this way, going back to Acts chapter 2, we say this quite a bit, but it will come to pass in the last days, God says, I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see what? Visions, and your old men shall dream what? Dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And that's what we're reporting tonight, some of these signs that our Lord is bestowing upon us and through his mother.
Right.
I mean, that in itself is a great sign. And so praying the rosary, Our Lady says, is a great sign of predestination in the literal meaning of the word predestination. Because if you're depending and praying the rosary, Our Lady will lead us home like no other, like a great scout.
Yes.
She's been called so many different things by us, you know, general, evangelist, but she's also paving the way that the Lord.
I like to call her our spiritual GPS. That's what I like to call her, because when you talk about predestination, that's like saying, okay, you're going to this city and you'll arrive at this time. But that doesn't mean that the arrival is automatic. If you take a car and you drive it off the bridge, you're not going to arrive. So that's where we disagree with, like the Calvinists, in the definition of predestination. Predestination means that we're we're heading towards our destiny so long as we remain faithful. We'll meet with our destiny.
Amen. What do you think of that, Mike?
Not sure.
You haven't been predestined yet or predetermined. That's to follow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's okay. We are on a journey.
We are. All right. So then in 1986, Geraldine was expecting her fourth child, but experienced a very difficult and painful pregnancy. At 5 months, she had an accident, fractured her spine, and could not walk for 2 months, spending weeks in the hospital. As the difficult birth approached, more pain and troubles. The pain was as horrific as the insensitive healthcare worker who was rough with her and yelled at her despite her being in excruciating pain. In desperation, Geraldine offered up her pain to Jesus. Quote, then all of a sudden, one moment I am lying there in the hospital in agony, and the next I'm in a completely different place, standing up free from all pain. I did not know where I was. I looked all around me and everything was brilliant light. Boy, this sounds like a little near-death experience. In front of me, to my left, I saw a figure of a man, and it was as though the sun was shining from his face. But yet, it did not hurt my eyes to look at him. He was brighter than the sun. At that moment, I felt this great compassion for me, as if he felt sorry for me. And then he said, quote, do not worry. This person belongs to the wicked one. He's referring to that hospital worker. I knew he meant the nurse who had caused me to suffer much. Up until this moment in my life, I sometimes wondered if God or heaven really existed. Now, in Jesus' presence, I was in awe and remembered thinking, oh, God, there really is a supreme being who watches over the whole earth and sees everything. Now I know for sure that there is a God. Then he said, they are persecuting my people. And he raised his right hand as if he wanted to punish the wicked people here on earth. I then felt tremendous anger coming from him and also felt his almighty power. Just as he was about to strike, something from my right stopped him. I looked across to see what it was, and I saw a lady sitting down. Coming from this woman were oceans and oceans of love, so much love, a love I have never known. All the love I have for my family, children, husband, mother, grandparents, relatives, everyone, all this put together is only a teardrop compared to the love coming from this lady, and a serenity, peacefulness, and gentleness on the same scale. Her love was stopping this man from punishing the world. And I knew I must go through this lady to get to this man, Jesus. She had a tremendous hold over him, which was love. In this love that I felt coming from her, I experienced the greatest ecstasy and happiness I had ever known. Then I realized he could refuse her nothing. At this moment, she said to me, you are going to have a baby girl. Go back. They need you. Boom. And I was back in the hospital, unquote. Oh, man. What do you think of that little story?
Wow.
Well, just...
wow.
Yeah. Wow. Wow is the word. This is what St. Paul said.
That,
I must boast, not that it is profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know someone in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. That's where the throne of God is, by the way. And I know that this person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard ineffable things which no one may utter. About this person I will boast, but about myself I will not boast except about my weaknesses. Although if I should wish to boast, I would not be foolish, for I would be telling the truth. But I refrain so that no one may think more of me than what he sees in me or hears from me because of the abundance of the revelations. And that's coming from St. Paul, which I believe, and I think that the church believes that he is the one that he's speaking about this encounter 14 years ago, which happened to correlate with when he was stoned and left for dead. And so I'm just saying that St. Paul is speaking as a third person here. But it's interesting that what you're relaying here, very similar, that she sees herself totally from being in this bed in pain, and all of a sudden she's in the presence of the Lord, or what, maybe her guardian angel, but I presume that would be the Lord. And she's told that she's going to have the baby, and so she's sent back, you know. And I think that happens a lot. What do you think about this, John B.?
Well, it's just so interesting that our Lord chooses to reveal to this person who questioned faith, had doubt. There's other people that all of us have known that it's just interesting that Jesus chooses to reveal this to some people who have doubts in faith, and others he does not. It's just one of those things that we can't know and understand.
Well, for me, I think that he does this, John C., he does this for the whole. So when he does a miracle or he gives a revelation like this, it may be specifically for that person, yes, but also for all of us to hear it as well. So this ain't just for her.
Absolutely.
Necessarily. It's for all of us. As we're sharing it here on Deeper Truth Live tonight. I love that.
And I think this is a really interesting thing, because here she doesn't know that much about heaven or God or anything right now, but she had a perfect description of what most people describe when they go to heaven, seeing a bright light, a man's figure in it, and hearing that incredible love and compassion. But what's interesting is it plays out this classic, he's about to serve justice, and the lady, Our Lady, stops him, holds his hand back, and literally she describes this visual description of all of that, where oceans of love pour from the lady and halts the man's condemning of the world. I mean, she describes it in a visual way, which is fascinating, because no one's done that before, seeing
you know,
this
John,
played out.
If I can just interject one thing really quick.
Sure.
We can take this on a small scale level, and we can take it on a large scale level. We can take it as a larger point of she restrained his arm from inflicting justice on the world. But we can also internalize it. How many times has Our Lady restrained his arm from inflicting justice on me? And I think that's the message we should take from it as well.
That's a very good point. Very, very good point.
I agree. And consider from the scripture, Noah's Ark, Jacob's Ladder, the Burning Bush, Ark of the Covenant, the Cloud of Elijah, and the Shut Door of the Temple. These are well-known biblical events and stories that St. Augustine recognized, that the Old Testament being the New Testament concealed, while the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And look at Noah's Ark. It became a place of refuge for Noah and his family and the whole human race. Likewise, the Virgin Mary has become a place of refuge in her powerful intercession. Think of that. She can take you to the depth of Jesus' sacred heart, where we can bathe in the Lord's divine mercy. And I also love this. Mary is also seen as the ladder of Jacob through her title, Theotokos, meaning Mother of God. She is the link or the vehicle that Jesus came into the world. And the ladder itself represents the cross of Christ, which we ascend or have the means to ascend to heaven. The angel Gabriel sent by God describing to the Virgin Mary from heaven became the first manifestation of what? Jacob's dream. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's just so interesting when she says, he can refuse me nothing. It's another reason why we ask Mary to ask Jesus for certain things, you know, to pray with Mary interceding, because when she says, as she says in this apparition, he can refuse me nothing. But it's just another powerful way of saying, yeah, if you want something done, ask Mary to ask Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
Think of this. You know, in the 15 promises of the Virgin Mary, number 13, all the advocates of the rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death. Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
That's even, that's even better than the Supreme Court.
Yeah, much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
Much better
remember,
than the Supreme
remember,
Court.
John, you've got to remember something, John. The Supreme Court isn't.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
So, anyway. But,
I mean,
what a new vision it was.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Anyway. We got another one, and this one is one of my favorites. In November of 1989, Geraldine received another heavenly gift. Quote, many things had been going wrong. I needed my grandmother, who had partly raised me and was missing her very much. I needed advice, and I was still grieving for her death. She had died in 1982. With tears streaming down my face, I was thinking of how we used to talk and of her loving ways, my heart breaking as I wished she was still there. Then, to my surprise, I heard a woman's voice speaking inside of me clearly. She said, I am your blessed mother. I am speaking to you from within. Your earthly mother is not here with you right now, so I have come to comfort you during your trials. However, your other mother, or actually the grandmother, is here with me. Would you like to speak to her? At that moment, I thought I was losing my mind, but yet I felt peaceful and calm, and very comforted and loved by this voice. So I said, yes, I would. The next thing I knew, somehow I was flying in spirit through the sky. By my left side was an angel guiding me, and I felt it was my guardian angel, and it was nighttime. I saw in the distance a city. As we approached the city, it was like a warm and peaceful Sunday afternoon, because there was a holiness about it. I saw white stone houses with flat roofs and park bench seats outside. There were people sitting on the seats. As we got closer, I recognized some of the people. My grandmother was sitting on the right side, and my sister Karen opposite her. My grandmother looked younger, and there was a beautiful glow about her. I could see she was looking forward to my being with her. Then I found myself looking towards my sister. It was like looking through a camera, as if the focus moved from one place to another. My sister looked about 30 years old now. She was 12 when she had died, yet her features were the same. She was beaming, and so happy and smiling. She said, "I have someone very, very special here who is really looking forward to meeting you. Don't worry, I'm looking after her for you." At that moment, my view shifted down to see that she was holding the hand of a little girl about 9 years old. The little girl had long hair tied back in a ponytail, and she wore a plain gray dress. I didn't know who she was. And my sister said, "This is Geraldine Margaret." At that moment, I nearly fainted with shock. I felt the hair stand up on the back of my head, and I felt hot, then cold, as I realized it was the little baby I had miscarried 9 years earlier, and it had been a girl. I was going to call her Margaret Geraldine after my grandmother, but instead they called her after me, Geraldine Margaret. Then this experience ended. As I came out of the room, my husband said, "What's the matter?" As he could see by the look on my face that something had happened. I cried continuously at the thought of having a daughter and not knowing her. Again, I was so upset, not knowing what to make of all of this. Again, I heard this beautiful, soft, loving woman's voice. "Do not be sad at what you have seen. Rejoice, rejoice, for your Father in heaven has given you a wonderful gift." I stopped crying and was comforted, feeling a great peace, unquote. Okay, guys, there's another goodie.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. You know, I love this. This is, you know, going to the 22nd chapter of Revelation. "Blessed are they who wash their robes," and that's talking in reference to baptism, "so as to have the right to the tree of life and enter the city," the one that you're talking about, John, "through its gates." And this is important to this is what St. John says, same chapter but going earlier, verse 6. "And he said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of prophetic spirits, sent his angel to," just like what we're seeing in this story here, John, "sent his angel to show his servants what must happen soon. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the prophetic message of this book. It is I, John, who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets of those who keep the message of this book. Worship God.'" And notice what something I was just thinking about here. "But he said to me, 'Don't. I am a servant, fellow servant of yours," this angel, "and of your brothers." Now, think about this. At the time of this writing, who was left alive along outside of St. John of the Apostles? Probably nobody, if any. And so who would he be referring to? The current pope at that time, St. Linus, who was the first successor of Peter. And the angel is recognizing the chair of Peter here. "I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets," what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19, that the church, the Catholic Church, was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Oh, this is so good and so biblical. Wow.
Yeah.
Everything. That's great.
The thing that I'm struck with is that she miscarried this child. And now this child is being shown as a 9-year-old child in heaven. Anybody that's listening to that denies that life begins at conception really needs to take a sober look at this, because here it's being shown very, very clearly that this this girl was a human being in every respect, and this is being shown by the fact that she's still growing in heaven. That she's now a nine-year-old girl in heaven, as if she had been born and lived to the age of 9 years old on earth. Very,
right.
Very, very strong image.
And what's great about this, when I did research for my book on heaven, I came across a number of miscarriages that were seen in heaven, also growing up there and at the right age. In fact, in the famous movie Heaven Is For Real, little Colton Burpo says to his mother one day, "How come you didn't tell me I had another sister?" She goes, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "Well, I met her up there. She ran up to me and hugged me, and she was about 6 years old, and she looked like you when you were little. But you didn't name her. She had no name, because I asked her what her name was, and she says, they never named me." Well, the mother just broke down in tears because they had never told anyone in the family, the kids, you know, there was any miscarriages. And it's true, they didn't know the sex, and they didn't name the child. But she grew up in heaven with no name. But she recognized Colton, her brother, and watched. She says she watches the family all the time while she's growing up in heaven. So that was just another example, but I had probably three or four others that I found also in the research, and abortions as well. They all go to heaven and grow up there. So that it makes my research so much fun, really.
Oh,
so I would imagine
so
this
too.
Is also. I would imagine that this is, would also be true for. For a child that dies before the family is able to baptize the child.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even if the family never had any intention of baptizing the child. Before the child dies of the age they could have been baptized, that child goes straight to heaven?
Right.
I think so.
They haven't seen any children in hell, just so you know. No children in hell.
Except for here on Earth.
I know. I never thought about that. But you know, this idea that was put forward at one time of limbo. This pretty much disputes that idea.
Limbo was never doctrine that the Catholic Church taught.
That's why I said it was an idea. It was an idea that was floated about. But
a pious one. But this
Donald,
is not pious
you mentioned...
here, guys.
Donald, you mentioned three levels of heaven, or a third heaven where God's throne is. Do you have any understanding what the other two levels of heaven are?
Well, all I know is that there are levels in heaven. Actually, in the Old Testament, the belief is that there were seven levels totally, and it kind of was, some of it was like here in the eye and on earth in the sky and but I think that's too, what would you say? I think it's much, much more than that, like a whole different dimension, if you will. Hell itself. This is the warning about being in the city. That's what our hope is, to enter into the gates. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the unchaste, the murderers, the abortionists, for example, the idol worshipers, and all who love and practice deceit. You know, Jesus says, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches, which is one church, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. He says, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the hearers say, come. Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it receives the gift of life-giving water. I warn everyone who hears the prophetic words of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words in this prophetic book, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city described in this book. The one who gives this testimony says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, St. John says. And he ends it with, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. So that's what we're requesting. And that's what Mary is trying to wake us up. She's trying to get us right. And that's what all this is about, John.
So, John, I think you mentioned limbo, and I've heard that too. And I think there might be a section of heaven where the kids are getting instruction or training since they didn't have a chance on earth. And I think some of that goes on just so they aren't just supposed to understand everything there. But I think there is some kind of, they talked about all the aborted babies being together in one area. So perhaps there is something where they have to learn or be parented, or I don't know, because they don't have any parents there really.
Well,
I don't know. But
don't you think it's
kind of
like
for sure.
Don't you think it's kind of an infused sense of knowledge that comes to you there?
Oh, yeah.
Whether I mean, like,
yeah.
I say this in purgatory for a Protestant. There's not going to be 45,000 different denominations in heaven. Ain't happening. One holy Catholic and apostolic church, the church triumphant. And we are in the church militant and then the church suffering. And those who make it there will be saved forever and ever in heaven. But they will be this infusion of knowledge. And I also like that little, what you presented there about the grandmother being as if a young lady, you know, the bosom of her life.
Yeah.
And I think that's everybody.
And the sister was now about 30-ish. And it's interesting because, again, my research showed that no one hardly appears much older than 30-something. So that's pretty interesting. Or just a more youthful version of yourself, for sure. So grandmother looked youthful, and the sister looked in her 30s. So there you go. Very consistent findings, though. Yeah.
Think of this thing, too. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are living shall be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. At the parousia, the body and the soul will be reunited, and it will be glorified. We will be like him in all things, including the damned. The damned will also have glorified bodies that will last forever, and that's why hell is forever. It's not temporal.
Yep.
It is forever.
Yep.
And that's where if that's where you're destined to go, not because of he sent you there, it's because you sent yourself there. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time, which it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And so anybody out there listening to this show tonight, if you're sitting on the fence tonight, get off that fence and get on the right side. Get on the Lord's side because, you know, eternity, your eternity depends on it. God's grace is offered to you freely. And you must accept it, whether it's – go ahead.
I was just going to say, since I keep referring to my research in my book, I probably ought to give the name. It's called The Intense Reality of Eternity. And you can get it on Kindle or Amazon or, Apple, iTunes. I mean, just any service out there, any book service, any e-book platform. So that way, if you want to read the research and really see how what we're talking about pans out, because everything we talked about is in the book. Everything.
Hey, John,
it's amazing.
Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy just popped in. Kathy, what part did you start listening? Where did you come in?
Her message in 1982. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, well, she had one. Yeah. 82 and then 86 and then 89. So, yeah. Good.
I just I just watched a thing by Dr. Taylor Marshall, and it was about where is hell? Is hell in the center of the earth? And he referenced, he said, for one thing, the earth is a globe. The Bible says so. And then he says that according to St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Robert Bellarmine, inside the earth is hell, and on the outer layers, and Venerable Catherine Emmerich says too that the outer layers closer to the earth's crust is where purgatory and Abraham's bosom is, and those are places of light and of paradise while they were in wait for Jesus to open the gates of heaven, but in limbo, Abraham's bosom. But there is a chasm, he said, between, you know, Lazarus, the poor beggar, and the rich man. It's a terrible chasm between those two, but that where Lazarus was at that time, because that was Old Testament, was purgatory inside the earth. So I just thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
St. Peter.
If people describe purgatory, they, in my research shows, they talk about a misty place full of mist and kind of a smell of something maybe burning, but they're not really in fire like in hell, but they're in a misty, mysterious kind of place, and there's different levels of purgatory as well. So, but it's
yeah,
all very interesting.
I really think that that's a place of healing, of, you know, of purging and of healing. It's a place of healing of the soul. You know, in heaven there'll be no more crying. Everything will be healed. All your pain will be gone. You won't be sad. You won't be broken. And like the song says, the only scars in heaven are the hands that hold me now.
Well, I can say one thing for sure. Wherever hell is, I don't ever want to go there. I'll say that for sure.
Amen, amen. And think of this.
Yeah,
this is what you're all talking about, both of you are talking about, where Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God, put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison. St. Peter referred to this place as prison, who had once been disobedient, while God patiently waited on in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which only a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now. And so, I mean, all of this is biblical. All of it is very wonderful. And this Mary appearing in Australia, what a story. What a story, John.
Yeah. Yeah, and next week we will continue. Now, next week we'll get into all of her messages to Geraldine, her official messages. And we've got a good bunch of them, and plus more things that happened, and even a medal that Mary wanted her to have struck, you know. So a lot of interesting things to come. And I can see why three priests backed her up and a bishop approved, you know, all this, because it's certainly fascinating and hardly a thing of fantasy at all. I mean, who would expect to see their 9-year-old miscarried daughter in heaven? I mean, she wasn't expecting that, didn't even know who it was, you know? So it's just a lot of interesting things. And everything she reports matches up with everything with visionaries and everything with heaven research, and just all of it matches. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. And before we close, we'd like to always ask everyone out there listening to say a Hail Mary with me. We know all our voices will be in unison, rising up to heaven, and heaven will hear us. And they'll say, oh, there they go again. But join with me, all our voices from around the world. And we know you're out there. We check, and you guys are always out there all around the world. So no matter what time zone or day it is or time of night or morning or whatever, join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We're so glad you joined us. And, boy, you heard a story. You definitely heard an interesting story. And we're not done.
Wonderful.
So all I can say is good day, mate, and come back next week. We got more to tell you.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you
good
next
night.
Week. Same bat time and same bat station. Good night, everybody.
Joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.